everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with our friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering the show and producing it. Tom's got all the buttons going in the right direction, and it's a thumbs up as we take off on this Friday, November the 13th, 2015. Hope you had a great week. Looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We are live Monday through Friday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream the show at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com, where we have all of our programs archived for you. Our media partners, a big shout out and thank you to TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Soharita Sun and TucsonLifestyle.com, all of them supporting our program by prominently displaying a link to the Buckmaster Show on their particular home pages. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry is with us. We'll be with Mr. Huckleberry in a moment. And to join me in talking with Mr. Huckleberry, Dan Scheer, speaking of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, Dan is the fine editor of those two outstanding publications. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you. 790-2040. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion, we would love to hear from you. Our Facebook page is on under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we're also trying to do the Twitter thing at Buckmaster Show. Dan, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Thanks.
And Mr. Huckleberry, thanks for coming in.
I'm glad to be here, Bill.
Well, everybody's wondering what the plan is now that the bonds have gone down in defeat. So what's plan B?
Well, Bill, I don't know if we even have a plan B. Obviously, what we have to do is analyze the vote and the results. And obviously, you know, when we ask voters to incur debt, that's the purpose and the reason we go to the polls. And they said no this time, and they said it pretty overwhelmingly. So I think we really have to go back and look and see what were the most important components of that particular bond issue, and what do we need to do to go back and ask the voters? It's not as if we don't do that. We do it fairly regularly. Over the last, we'll say, 40 years, we've gone to the voters 13 different times, and this happened to be unlucky 13 here on Friday the 13th.
There you go. Very appropriately enough. Dan Scheer.
And voters have never said no before. How come they did it this time, and why so loudly?
Well, they've said no before, and they've said no to a question in, say, 1985 and part of a question in 1980. It's only recently they haven't said no. The propositions from about 1997 on have all passed fairly easily. I think this time there's a lot of uncertainty in the economy, the recovery, whether it's sustainable and where we're going. I think there were some questions on certain categories of projects or projects that were included. The area, the proposition that dealt with economic development was defeated pretty soundly, and that's a little bit puzzling given the fact that part of the complaints about the bond program was Pima County's high taxes and debt. Well, you don't get reduce your taxes by not growing your tax base. And those economic development questions were all focused on growing the tax base and providing employment and increasing incomes. And so it's perplexing why that particular question went down, and obviously we'll be taking a look at it and determining what are the most important components of economic development and moving forward. Our priority remains basically job creation, and that's what we're going to continue to stress.
But that's not what was stressed in the seven questions, just simply job creation. There was a lot of stuff in there that people were calling frills, or people were saying that, you know, maybe at some point, but this is not the right time. Did you just misread the voters, or why did this go down so hard?
Well, I think you have to remember that it's a composite process in order to actually put a bond program together. It's a community effort driven by citizens, and you know, I think everyone has said, and I'd even say it, that particular program and those projects would not have been mine if I were able to make the selection. But that's not the way the system works. The system works where we take public input and a community process establishes what goes into a bond question. And
some people thought, though, that was what you had put together. It was not.
Oh, I'm sure everyone thinks that I was pulling the strings behind the scenes, but that's not correct. Obviously, what we do is we accept this process, and this process is basically a consensus process and things that get in there that, frankly, I wouldn't have in a bond issue, but that's what the committee wanted, and I support that process, and I support our citizen-driven process to develop that bond program.
But let's be completely honest here. You were pulling the strings when it came to adding the $200 million for roads, which upped the bond by another 30% at the last minute. The Bond Advisory Committee did not vote on that. You were working with the two co-chairs of it, and that was in there, probably wisely. I'm assuming you thought it wouldn't pass without it, but you were working behind the scenes.
Well, I was working behind the scenes after the program was sent to the board, and the board said they needed to repair roads. The board made the decision to add the bond repair in the program, and I agreed with that, and I fully agreed with it because it was our last-ditch effort to actually try and fix some roads in this community. Every other effort we've tried, we've asked the legislature 4 or 5 times now to increase the gas tax. It's fallen on deaf ears. We don't have the ability to enact a sales tax for that purpose without a unanimous vote of the board. Have never been in the position in the last 20 years to have a unanimous vote of the board. So the bonds were really a last-ditch effort, and the voters have said no, and I think we'll accept that and see how we can get our roads repaired in the future.
All right, let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Caller Carl has been waiting patiently. Carl, you're with Chuck Huckleberry. Hey, Carl. Well, we lost Carl. There were 18 options that you had talked about back in 2018 for additional funds for transportation. In light of what happened with the bonds, I wonder how many of those options are even viable at this point.
Well, as you go through those options and look at them, you can start lining them off the list. They just haven't been used. We'll go back to the standard when it says the most tax equitable way to, in fact, finance transportation is through a user fee. And the most common user fee is a gas tax, but that's not been successful at all in the last few years. Sales taxes, there might be another alternative, but it's not going to come from Pima County because we don't have the authority to enact a sales tax for transportation. It's going to have to come from some other entity, some other way. We stand here and watch every day states taking the initiatives to improve transportation funding. Recently, Michigan just joined about 23 other states in the country by increasing their gas taxes and providing $1.2 billion per year for transportation in the state of Michigan.
All right. Do we have caller Carl back? Hello, Carl. You're with us. Sorry for the little bit of problem.
Yeah, I don't know which end that was on.
Okay.
I've got a question. Securitas lost their contract for whatever reason with the county, and the county hired another company called VetSec, which provides the security people for the libraries and some of the clinics and so forth and so on. Now, apparently, this particular company requires their employees to either come downtown to pick up their check, or they charge them, I think it's a $2 or $5 fee per check for direct deposit. Now, a lot of these folks are working paycheck to paycheck, and I just find it rather strange that you've got somebody that's you've got a contract with that doesn't provide direct deposit without charging for it.
Okay, thank you, Carl. Mr. Huckleberry, do you know anything about this?
Carl, I don't know a thing about it. All I know is that we contract for services, and it's a competitive process, and for the taxpayers' benefit, we always take the lowest practical cost. How they distribute their paychecks, I don't have the slightest idea.
Okay, Dan, back to probably the bonds.
Yeah, back to the bonds. Now, I know there have to be a lot of discussions still, but could we possibly see a bond on the 2016 ballot, maybe in the $350 million range, something that people feel they can get their arms around?
That's certainly possible. The 2016 election is one that obviously you can add proposition questions to it at very little additional cost. I think the question will be is, what do people think and what do they believe is the most viable and highest priorities of this community to fund in that effort. I think we heard a lot about tax increases, and I think there was a confusion about increase versus total taxes. You know, one of the things that I think we'll look at is, well, given the fact that we're rapidly repaying our debt, and we'll be out of debt in a few years, what would happen if we held the tax rate constant, which means no tax increase? What could we afford to offer? And we don't know those answers yet, but those are all viable issues and questions that could come back, and very likely it's nothing would be precluded from keeping it off, or some questions off, the ballot in 2016.
Are we going to have like a balkanization of cities being on their own with transportation?
Well, it certainly appears that way right now in Arizona. If you look at City of Phoenix recently, just third week in August, they had a special election. The City of Phoenix, they raised their sales tax 0.7%, which is almost, you know, getting close to 1% for transportation. When that happens, what happens is the pressure to finance transportation statewide goes away, because as we all know, we live in the great state of Maricopa, mm-hmm. Where most of the legislators in the state reside. And so if the pressure is not on in Phoenix and Maricopa County, there's certainly little incentive to have a statewide solution to transportation finance.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. 12:15, Mr. Huckleberry will stick around for another segment. 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. On Friday, our bumper music, intermission music, if you will, is music from the 60s. This goes back to Del Shannon, the late, great Del Shannon from early 1960s. Go ahead, Tom.
Once I had a pretty girl, her name, it doesn't matter. She went away with another guy. Now he won't even look at her. Hats off to Larry. He broke your heart just like you broke mine.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a 1-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Del Shannon, our Friday music for you, with our interlude music. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. With this, with the defeat of the bonds, how does this impact the buffer area for our largest private employer, Raytheon Missile Systems?
Well, the good news is it doesn't affect it at all. That buffer is going forward. We're in constant discussions with the Tucson Airport Authority, getting that buffer assured, and I think between the city and the county, we've joined forces to ensure that that buffer is going to be available for Raytheon, and we hope it's sooner than later, because we want Raytheon to have the incentive to expand here in Tucson, Arizona, as opposed to Huntsville, Alabama. And the buffer is not affected by the bonds, and it's moving forward, and I hope to be pretty much a thing of certainty within the very near future.
We heard a lot of frustration at Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting from the public, and the call to public was brutal almost at times. There were, certainly were some supporters there, too. This was a huge, huge loss, not only for you, but for all five supervisors, whether they liked it or not. And I'm going to take it that they're probably not happy and are looking for someone to blame. Do you think your job is secure?
Oh, my job is always what I would call never secure. I can wake up any particular day of the week and three individuals decide I shouldn't be working there anymore, and I won't be. And that's why I have a contract. And so, we're going to continue to do what I can to, manage the county and manage it as well as we can, do the things that we're supposed to do. And we do that as a county for regional services. And when you look at the county having 375,000 people, and it's like the fourth largest city as well. So providing urban services and regional services, we'll continue to do that. The bond is really our capital program. So what it really says is we're not going to be building anything new or expanding anything in the near future. And that's okay, because the voters have said no to the bond program.
So when you walk into work, if the lock has not been changed.
I know I can proceed and open the door and go to work.
Yeah, so correct, taking correct, one correct. Day at a time correct. Here, right?
And that's, that's just the life of a local public manager. When you think about city managers, over my tenure, I've now been county administrator almost 23 years, and I've seen 9 city managers come and go. And so it's just a fact of life that things change and political winds will blow one way one day and another the next.
Well, I'll be a little candid. I'm surprised you don't have a plan B either. That means you really expected this thing to go through, or you just don't see any other options. I mean, and when can we expect something to follow up? Because there are some great projects on in those propositions.
Well, I think what happens is that there aren't any other options. There are no plan Bs. The only way we're going to build capital facilities is through voter-approved bonds. Our property tax rate doesn't permit us to do anything different. We have no what we call cash flow from operating funds. It's all being consumed in actually managing and operating the county. And so, therefore, our only ability to expand new capital is through bonds. And if we don't have voter approval, then we simply won't be doing that.
Let's go to the live line. Do we have two Johns waiting? No, one John. Okay. John, you are with us on the live line. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. We're always, you know, hearing about how we have to raise money for these capital projects and such like that. But what is being done at the county to reduce costs, whether it be, cutting back on personnel, trimming back on maybe programs that aren't going on as smoothly as they should? Is there anything going on to save the taxpayers' money?
John, over the last 5 years, and really from 2010 to about now, the county's actually reduced our expenditures by about 12% to 15%. You can see that just by tracking our annual budgets. What we have seen is that just over the last few years, because of, we'll say, the recession, the tax base actually shrank. And we're pretty much at the point of where certainly we can lower expenses, and that's an option. But when we do that, we're going to actually start affecting services. And when the transition from, say, the 2010 period to 2015 in this reduction, I think most people can go back and look at their property tax bill back in 2010 and compare it to today, and there's not much difference. Now, admittedly, there are some differences just in the last 2 years, but no one, when we're raising taxes, everyone forgets that in the previous 3 years, we actually reduced property taxes.
Dan, go ahead.
My valuations keep going down too, so there's an offset on that, I suppose.
But John, and all of our valuations go down. We in this Great Recession, our tax base shrank 25%. That's more than it's ever shrunk at any time during any other previous economic recession.
Okay, Dan.
Green Valley and Oro Valley were hugely against these bonds. If you look at the canvas of this election, why do you think that was? And were there any special efforts in those areas to try to get voters on board?
Well, I think a lot of it dealt with just simply if you look at the voting results out of the retirement communities, they vote a lot more often than anyone else in the urban area, meaning that their voter turnout is typically much higher than in any other typical neighborhood in the community. And I think that in this particular case, they had significant no votes. And so I think that meant that they didn't think there was anything in the bond issue for them in the short period of time that the Horizon planned for, and our plan was for 10 years. So we don't know how to affect that other than just simply look at turnouts, and should the turnout of a retirement community that's very high, how do you offset that? And perhaps you offset it by higher turnouts throughout the rest of the area.
Do you think they would have been a little more amenable to it if it had been, say, half of what it was? It wasn't $816 million, but maybe that's what scared people. Because, again, I've not heard anybody say that all the projects were not worth doing. It was just, if you have one project in a $100 million question, I'm probably not going to vote for it because it's the only one I think is worthwhile. People really felt painted in a corner a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's certainly an issue. Maybe it was too big, and that might have had some effect on it. I think you can basically trim it down. You can cut it in half. Would they have voted for it? I don't know. It's probably doubtful.
Well, you got the dog pound last year went through.
Yeah, and it went through with opposition, but it went through 60-40, right, almost the reverse of these votes. And perhaps we have to basically talk about going. And typically, if you look at why these things get as large as they do, is because we only go to the voters every, 5 to 10 years. When you look at this bond election, 2015, the largest previous bond election was 2004. So maybe the message is we need to go more often with smaller questions and more specific targeted questions and test the voters, their thoughts at that time. Because all of this really relates to, does the voter want these particular projects? And perhaps maybe we ought to go more often than we have in the past.
But there was a reason you didn't go earlier, because we were right in the middle of the recession.
Oh, absolutely. This bond committee began planning for this, quote, bond election in 2007, and that was right at the peak of the economic, we'll say, acceleration, and all of a sudden the bottom fell out, and so they didn't do much at all until 2015, so they've been at this almost 7 years.
Let's go back to the live line, just about out of time, but Dan, I want to work him in because he's been waiting. Hey, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just amazed that our political leaders here in this county will not take any responsibility for this bond loss. We needed a couple of those bonds very badly, and this guy acts like he never even heard of Pima County, much less had anything to do with the bonds. Where's the leadership here from our leaders?
Okay, Dan, let me ask Mr. Huckleberry, do you think you and the supervisors are taking responsibility for this?
Oh, of course. I mean, obviously, we take responsibility for basically everything that happens or we do in the county. That's just what happens in this particular case. I think the message here is that if there's anything, we actually ask voters to incur debt. We don't impose it upon them. Other municipalities, other governing bodies can do it by a vote. We typically do not do that. We ask voters.
There's another story that is brewing here, and this is thanks to our friend Emil Franzi and the Southern Arizona News Examiner breaking the story about Hudbay is selling off Rosemont mining equipment as their debt is mounting. $34.5 million liquidation in previously purchased equipment by Hudbay. Any thoughts on that? And do you think this Rosemont will ever go through, Mr. Huckleberry?
Well, the issue of Rosemont, and obviously I hadn't read the article, but right. Anytime you sell off your assets, it's not a good thing. The problem with Rosemont is it's still somewhere in the federal permitting process, and that's about as big a black box as you can see. You can put things in it, and when something comes out, you never know. So we don't have any idea when any of the decisions of the Corps of Engineers on the 404 permitting or the Environmental Protection Agency will be made on Rosemont.
Dan, you want to follow up quickly about Rosemont?
Yeah, and Hudbay says they're selling this off because recent engineering studies show that this specific equipment is not necessarily. And we do know that they bought this mine from Augusta Research, which had never mined before, and perhaps it was stuff that wasn't necessary. But, we can read into it, but at face value, they say it's just stuff we didn't need.
Well, if they didn't need it, you wonder why not Hudbay, but Augusta bought it in the first place.
It could be that they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, that could be.
All right, Dan, thanks for joining in the conversation.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Huckleberry,
thank you.
As you make your way back to the county building, and hopefully the door has not
not been changed. The lock has not been changed
for you this afternoon, and you still have a job come Monday morning as well. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, Chuck Huckleberry with us on the Buckmaster Show. Let's pause right here.
Here she comes.
Here she comes.
That little town flirt.
Here she comes.
You're falling for her. And you're gonna get her. Yeah, I know it's so hard to resist the temptation of her tender.
Do you know where to throw?
You can be part of the solution this Saturday, November 14th from 10 until 2. The City of Tucson Goodwill and Tucson Clean and Beautiful will offer free document shredding, e-waste collection, textile recycling, and compost demonstrations.
We'll be taking your old broken computers and all your unwanted clutter for recycling. There will be a thrift shop fashion show and delicious food and fun for the entire family.
Saturday, November 14th from 10 until 2 at El Rio Neighborhood Center. Learn more at nowheretothrow.com.
Hi, Financial Whiz Kid here with some tax advice for you. This year, you can make a charitable gift to Christian Family Care and help provide safe foster homes and caring parents for kids who really need them. The Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit lets you donate hundreds of dollars to this worthy cause and take a state tax credit for all of it, so there is no expense to you. And chances are, you can claim it on your federal taxes too. It's so simple, even a kid can do it. To learn more, visit fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Like Del Shannon, right? Yeah, it is. Del Shannon is our 60s bump music today, and that is one of his hits, and he had quite a few. Ragdoll is that one. The late, great Del Shannon left us too soon in 1990, and glad we went back into the vaults to showcase some of his music here on the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today was with Mr. Huckleberry. Dan Scheer had joined me and is with us for the roundtable. Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and Mari Herreras joining us now, the editor of the Tucson Weekly. And Mari and Dan, I during the interview, after Mr. Huckleberry said no plan B, I put that out there on Facebook, and people are reacting. So I was a little surprised. Were you not, Dan, that there is no plan B? But maybe it's just the plan B hasn't been fully explored yet.
Right, and you know, plan A, I think, was fully expected to go on through, and like he said, from 97 on, all of the bonds have been okayed, and just the one in 85, as he said, and partial one a little bit earlier than that, had been rejected. But this is a community that generally got on board of those things, but we're also coming out of a recession that we, unlike we have experienced in years and years, and so that may have played a role. As we talked about, Green Valley and Oro Valley, the retirees who come out in huge numbers. Most of our precincts were in the low to mid 60s turnout, whereas overall turnout was, I think, 38.5%. So, which Sarita was almost exactly on the average. So it was Green Valley, and they pretty much said no in overwhelming numbers. So.
Yeah, I think they thought that the propositions, you know, splitting them up in that manner was going to be the key, and putting something juicy in each one was going to be how they would connect with each voter. And I don't think that had ever been done before, from what I understood. And you know, that's a lesson, obviously, in how they present everything to the voters. The other thing is that we keep thinking or saying to ourselves that we've recovered from this recession. And in Tucson, in many ways, that's not uncommon for us. We're not recovered, and I think that calls into, you know, question as well exactly what voters were thinking.
And look at the other things we have coming at us down where I am. You have Freeport-McMoRan laying off another 400 people after 150 layoffs.
Yes.
In August. You have TEP rates going up. You have, you know, we've talked about this, HOA fees and price of groceries, and of course our people are concerned about Social Security and Medicare, which are, you know, not having increases. And so, you know what, it all just came together to make it easy for a whole lot of people just to say no. And I think, by the way, the more projects you put in there, the more opportunity you're giving people to say no, because the chances are it's not going to be in their area. And it's just, you know, okay, so there are 15 projects in this one question that I really like, but only one of them is in my area, and I think two or three of them are baloney. No, people are looking for a reason to not spend money, and I think this bond package gave them lots of reasons.
The legislative agenda, I know the county will be looking at that.
Right, and that'll be coming out in a couple of weeks, and there could be, and he has said on your show many times, Chuck Huckleberry, that we have got to look to the state legislature for some of the answers to these problems, and one of them is the gas tax that he's talked about, and so maybe on that agenda that they release, there could be something in there that is going to be, in essence, a plan B, at least maybe for the roads or for one particular portion that went down.
What about, is there also a sales tax option as well that's been discussed that other counties in the state have on board, but we don't?
You know, we've talked about that with him also, and there has to be, you know, unanimous vote, and he just doesn't think that he could get that through in Pima County. It's almost just something that wouldn't happen, and as he pointed out on the air, I think it was a 0.7% sales tax increase in up in the Phoenix area that sailed on through for the people there, but to me, that would seem like a, I don't know if you would dedicate it to roads or what, but it would seem like a quick fix. And maybe now, in light of saying no to all these bonds, it might be the less painful way to go about it. But he just doesn't think that it could get through.
Yeah.
And Mari, the other big story, certainly of the week, is the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the Ninth Circuit,
That's
calling
right.
Tucson's election system unconstitutional. There's talk, the two candidates who actually won their wards.
Right. Burkholder and Hunt.
Margaret
Lawton.
Kelly Lawton.
Yes.
Margaret Burkholder.
They're having a press conference today,
yeah,
actually.
4:30 at City Hall.
That's right.
To announce, I guess, some kind of legal action that they're going to be taking against.
Yeah, legal action, and also the expectation they're putting pressure, or want to, I guess, to the city council to not certify the vote based on this
I don't
this
think
ruling.
That's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen either. I don't think that's going to happen either. It's interesting, though. I know our conservative blogger, Jonathan Hoffman, did something this morning and brought up something he's brought up in the past when he's done print stuff for us. But, you know, Harvey Milk, for example, when he was running for city council in San Francisco, they had the same system set up. And he ran twice and lost twice, but was overwhelmingly voted for in the Castor District, which is the district he represented at the time. And it wasn't until the law was changed that he finally got in, and obviously because the Castor District voted for him, as they had the previous two elections.
And Dan, I know this is not your area, but it is very interesting to see what the city will do. And they have, I think some folks are maybe misinterpreting what the circuit said. The circuit said that you could have all... you could go all ward only, primary and general, or you can go all general election, primary and the general election.
Right. And in Mesa, which is, you know, just the number three city right behind Tucson, they went to a ward-only system. And the reason was at one point they discovered that three of the six council members all lived on the same street in a little Mormon enclave called Lehi. And they decided, you know what, that's just not good for anybody. So they went to the district way of doing things. And then, of course, the mayor was selected at large, and it really did help get some representations for areas that were largely overlooked because, frankly, our council members never went there, and those people tend to not be real good advocates for themselves. So now you have people living in each of the districts, and it's a much better system.
Let's go back to an earlier city council race, though, like Steve Kozacek. You know, when he first ran for office, he ran as a Republican in a district in a ward that is overwhelmingly Democrat, but he won with Republican votes elsewhere, not from folks in his district. At least that's what I recall. I don't know if I'm fully I'm right.
I think Rick is with us. Is it perhaps Rick Grinnell? Rick, how are you?
Oh, great.
I'm good. How are you?
Is this Rick Grinnell?
It is. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Rick. So what do you think about this lawsuit, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, first of all, I don't think that the press conference is going to do anybody any good. I think the city's going to, and two issues. Number one, I don't think they can even if they were not to certify the Ward 2 and Ward 4 winners, you still have to deal with the city charter as a whole.
Yes.
So they're not going to be able to do anything right away. But there's something everybody keeps talking about, ward only or, you know, and all these issues, but we need to really look at nonpartisan elections across the board where you have a realistic chance of electing people without continually putting a label on them. We're in a society of labels. Every time I turn around, somebody's got a new label. And we've got to get away from this so that we can focus on electing people that are, you know, their primary goal is to bring good governance to the city council as a whole and not proprietary Democrat or Republican issues. And I think the city is way behind the curve when it comes to that issue.
That option is out there. I think that was one of the options the court gave them, going nonpartisan. But I don't think that seems to be on the horizon or on the radar screen of anybody, Rick.
Well, it should be. And then if I may digress just a second on these bond issues.
Yeah.
And I think what people forgot about is the County Board of Supervisors, as much as they want to say that they've been on time with budgets and they haven't done, you know, they spend bond money appropriately, we have two significant areas where the bond issues have not been satisfactory, and one of them was the Pima County Courthouse. And the other one is the La Cañada Road project that has, number one, gone over budget. Number two, was delayed over and over again. And I think people looked at those issues. And finally, I think the other issue behind this, nobody talked to the business community, because when you're talking about property taxes, the businesses absorb a much bigger hit than personal property taxes. And businesses right now are having a hard time keeping their doors open. They don't want to engage in having to add any more. And when you're talking about a company that pays $250,000 in property taxes a year, and then the county turns around and says, by the way, we want you to pay another $25,000 to $30,000 a year, that's a big hit.
Okay.
And with the economy the way it is, people just cannot absorb that anymore.
Rick Grinnell, thank you very much. Rick, former mayoral candidate, and keeps an eye on what's going on the city.
Nonpartisan idea is always a great idea in some sort of dreamland, you know.
Yeah, it isn't going to happen here.
It's not going to happen here. We have a school board race that's nonpartisan, but it certainly isn't nonpartisan. So why would that happen in the city council race?
And we worked very hard to make sure that this bond thing, at least down in our area, the bond package would not turn into a partisan left versus right type thing, because we kept wanting to focus on what is best for all of Pima County, and let's not delve into that. At the individual forums I attended around Tucson and then down in our area, I did see an awful lot of the partisanship going on, and that was really disappointing, because I agree that that's exactly how it should be. People shouldn't be voting for a D or an R. They should be voting for the best candidate and for the future of their community.
And how about the school districts that did not get their override down in your area?
Well, we had one that went down by 23 votes, Continental School District. They lost 5 years ago by one vote. They'll come back this next year, and we'll see what happens there. I think that they and the Sarita Unified School District, which was going for a $40 million bond, were victims of the overriding attitude toward the county's bond package. Although in Sarita, half the time they go for it, half the time they don't, so you never quite know how they're going to go on those things. But it hurt.
How is your area reacting to the loss of all those mining jobs?
Well, you know, the mayor and the town manager have met with Freeport. They feel much better about it as far as that there's going to be some support for the miners who are going to lose their jobs. We already have had some reports of people leaving the community even before they've been laid off, because they've been offered jobs at other Freeport sites and they're just going to take the sure thing. On Monday, our state legislator, Rosanna Gabaldon, is going to meet with several players in all of this, and we're going to be in the room with them. And they just want to make sure that they get ahead of it and give the miners as much support as possible. It's not unusual that a mine has a partial close down or a full closed shutdown, and they do come back, but it's really tough on the families.
The A-10.
Yes, the A-10. We bought possibly another year.
I think another year.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Another year is good news. I mean, I think this... the future of DM has an ongoing discussion.
Kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop. Yep, wondering what's going
to
happen.
What's going to happen to DM? How is Davis-Monthan going to be used in the future, I think, is the bigger question that we need to be talking about. And I'm sure the city powers that be are making, that's $1 billion in our economy every year. And we sure don't want to lose that, right?
That's right.
The choices, I guess, you know, a training facility that's always comes up. A-16s as well, as a base for the A-16s.
Doug Ducey creating a state police for the border. That, I guess, this is was this talked
is
about at all during the campaign? Or I know he talked about immigration and getting tough out along the border. I don't know if this particular issue came
up. This was news to me, or at least they didn't use the term state police. So we'll see if it truly is working in tandem with local and county, law enforcement officers and stuff. But an interesting idea. My question is, but what are they going to do?
Well, how are they going to pay for it?
Hello.
Let's talk about that.
Let's
take a few pencils away from some children out there, and I'm sure we can come up with the money.
Right? Absolutely.
All right, Dan and Mari, thank you very much. Mari Herreras from The Weekly does a fine job editing that publication. I hope you have a great weekend, Mari.
I hope you do, too. I come here only to listen to the bump music, by the way.
Well, are you okay with Del Shannon?
It is a sad story, but yes.
Yeah, sad story.
Tom had me crying in the other room.
Yeah, about what really happened to him in 1990. Anyway, Dan Scheer, thanks a lot also for
Thank
your
you.
Input, always. All right, we'll be back with Weekend Watch, but now, Del Shannon.
And when I told
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Food and Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Matt Russell, brought to us by Grant County and Silver City, New Mexico. What a great weekend getaway Silver City makes. Enjoy the Gila, the nation's first wilderness. So much to do over there. Great dining in Silver City, and it's a historic town with lots of appeal, as they say, curb appeal in the real estate business. Brought to you by Silver City and places to stay like Bear Creek Cabins, Pinos Altos Cabins, and Silver City KOA. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, who is also a very dedicated foodie. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great, Bill. I have some four letters for you, T-G-I-F. I am ready for this weekend.
You always are. And, of course, you're always ready for an ultimate party, to say the least.
Yeah, seriously. There's always a party going on around town on Fridays, but there's only one ultimate party, and that's tonight at Keno Stadium. Now, about 3,000 people are expected to turn out for a fun-filled and food-filled evening to support the Boys and Girls Clubs. Now, it starts with an ultimate happy hour at 4 o'clock with great libations and scrumptious cuisine from all of the Fox restaurants, Blanco, Zinburger, Wildflower, and North. And a huge silent auction and live music will take the ultimateness to the next level. Tickets are only $100. I say don't miss the ultimate party tonight, Bill.
How about some Peruvian cuisine?
I love the flavors of Peru, and there is no better time to enjoy them than at the annual Peña Peruano party tomorrow night at Inca's Peruvian Cuisine over there on Colbin Sunrise. Now, the celebration kicks off at 6 p.m. with specials on pisco cocktails, Peruvian lamb and other regional dishes, and of course, live Peruvian music. And Inca's is also celebrating its 6th anniversary, so you know this will make for one delicious evening. I say save the airfare to Lima, Bill, and head over to Inca's tomorrow night.
Hey, at TMA, isn't this the big crush event?
It's one of my very favorite events of the year, and you are absolutely right. It's Sunday from noon to 3, the Crush Wine and Food Festival at the Tucson Museum of Art. Food from over 35 local restaurants and a spectacular showcase of some of the best wine in the market. I say if you're a lover of great food and wine like I am, Crush should be on your calendar for Sundays. Tickets are only $80, and they can be purchased on the museum's website.
What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
Well, Bill, you're certainly familiar with craft beer and, of course, craft whiskey. But what about craft honey? That's right. There's a lot of buzz in the bee business these days, and one local company found a sticky way to success. And you could read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Matt Russell, thank you so much.
Have a great weekend.
Matt Russell's reports always brought to us by southwestnewmexico.org, Silver City and Grant County, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Check it out. Great weekend getaway. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of my great team here at KVOI, owners Doug and Mary Martin, our fine operations manager Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, the production ace himself, and of course our producers Ed Alexander and Tom Fairbanks, my executive assistant Rosemary Brandt, all of them make this possible. On behalf of them and me, have a safe and wonderful weekend.